Let's get back into 2 Timothy, and we'll go into the fourth chapter. And praise the Lord, we're coming to the conclusion. I don't want you to get too excited because we're not finishing it tonight. But I thank the Lord again in what He's bringing to us. He is so rich, and I'm so thankful that He has given us the Comforter, and the one who will, as we just look to Him, will guide us into all truth. Praise be to God. But I'm thankful that we've had this encouragement from Brother Paul, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to the Timothys of this age. And let's never forget that the name Timothy means honoring God. And I'm so thankful how simple it is for what Paul is telling Timothy. If you really want to honor God, son, it's going to be strong meat. It's going to be the whole counsel of God. Brother, follow Christ as I have followed Him. That's the path. The Lord has given me this dispensation. The Lord has given me this message, the mystery of Christ in the church. May we run well. May we apprehend. May we win Christ. Now, the ones that will take this mantle that Paul is so sweetly here giving to Timothy will run well. Those that take Paul's gospel will finish, praise God, with a full joy. They will live a life by God's grace of if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection. As Christ said, you're not worthy to follow me if you're not willing to come after me. And in coming after the Lord, brothers and sisters, in going after Him in this precious word, the ones that are the closest to us oftentimes will not come. They will not go with you. It will be a heartache. It's not that you won't love them. You'll love them more. The capacity to love will just fill your heart. That wineskin will grow. But there will be a desire to come out from among them and even be ye separate because you've went unto Him. But brothers and sisters, this is a life. And Paul makes it very clear to Timothy. This is a life, brother, that does not draw back. This is a life that does not swerve from the Word of God. It's a life that follows, praise the Lord, the Spirit, a life with straight feet, unwavering by God's grace in standing in the Word of His grace, rightfully dividing the Word of God, feeding upon rightfully divided Word, an appetite, praise God, for the preach no other gospel. Praise God. And as we have been forewarned over and over through Paul, and as we see right now going on in full swing, there is a falling away. The itching ear of Christianity is rampant, and feeling has completely replaced faith. Brothers and sisters, God willing, may we look up. May we run well. May we fight the good fight of faith and be encouraged because the coming of Jesus is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. See, that's our abounding hope. And praise God, in His great grace, I believe there will come out a people, praise the Lord, as He says, for His name's sake. Now let's go ahead and read in the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 18. And this is Brother Paul speaking. And he says here, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, when Paul was in prison in Rome, all men forsook him. As he said here, there was no man that stood with me. And I think of even the ones we read about and rejoiced in, and Paul rejoiced in last week. We read about them, all of those precious brothers. They too, for a time, were discouraged. They were afraid. Things did not look good to their eyes. All they could see that the demise of Paul and Paul's gospel was coming forth. They were defeated. They thought, I really believe this, in looking at Paul and his life. He gave it all. And this is what he gained? A jail cell, imprisoned, ridiculed. And brothers and sisters, I do pray that we fully embrace this precious truth, that if we really go on after God's best, we will face great trial. At times, our adversaries, they may appear like they're gaining great ground on us, just as was the case of the 3 days and three nights in the tomb. They thought it was all over, didn't they? But God. And his word is true. And what his word says is that in due time, he will exalt you. And I am thankful to God, brothers and sisters. We know that he is faithful and true. We have to understand one thing about God. He always does it his way. And if you really have any experience in the things of God, he seems to always like to let the enemy think for just a moment, well, I've got him this time. I've got him trapped. You just let me get at him and I'll show you what I'll do to him. But see, God in his great exceeding greatness, he loves to make the way out of the no way. He loves to take you to the Red Sea. He loves to put the army of Pharaoh behind you, trapped. And yet I'll tell you what, I'm going to do it exceeding abundantly. I'm not only going to part that sea for you, I'm going to let you walk across on dry ground. And not only am I going to let you walk across on dry ground, 4 million or so people, I'm going to put that defense in front of Satan and his army, and they're not going to even be able to touch you till every single one of you go across that sea. And then I'm going to show you my exceeding greatness, and they're going to come on through there. But see, that wasn't, in a sense, prepared for their deliverance. That was prepared for their death. Praise be to God. And those enemies were just swallowed up. Amen, amen, amen. God in his faithfulness, brothers and sisters. That's how he does it. That's how God, again, loves to have us look to him and not look to seeing what our eyes see. See, brothers and sisters, we must need to learn to live by faith. Believing God, as he says, the victory has already been won. The way of escape has already been made. By God's grace, brothers and sisters, may we not be as sweet brother Thomas, who said, I'll only believe when I see it with my own eyes, when I can put my fingers in the hole of his hands, when I can put my hand in that pierced side. By God's grace, I hope to be those that believe and yet did not need to see with my eyes. Hallelujah. Oh, what a double portion of grace there will be. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, will be built in me. But you see, Paul, again, is so completely in God's care. And Paul, in such love, even in this time of this imprisonment. And you think of what God did for Paul, as we know in Philippians, when he was jailed at that time. He wrote the joy book of the Bible. That's what came out of him. See, it had to be that place. Paul couldn't have written that just humming along on the shores of Galilee or something like that, or in a great big revival meeting, or just around all the precious saints that he wanted to be with at Ephesus. Oh, no, no, no. He had to be in a place where God could really get him alone. Where God, Paul, there's not going to be any distractions. You're only going to be thinking of me, because I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing else to think about, brother. God had him shut up to him. Now, honey, I'm going to bring the joy book of the Bible out of your life. Sound familiar? You might be in it right now. It's not a comfortable place at times. It's not a joyous place for the moment. But I'll tell you what, a song's coming in the morning. And praise be to God, what a song it will be. Because it's his victory song. But you see, brothers and sisters, Paul, in this great love, all he can utter there is he said, you know what, no man stood with me, but all man forsook me. And he didn't go on and say, God, just take them out. Dirty, rotten scoundrels. We were marching all along. I looked back and they were all gone. Oh, no. What Brother Paul said was, I pray, God, lay it not to their charge. Isn't that something? See, brothers, Paul here, isn't it wonderful? Speaking to God just as a friend. Kind of reminds you of Moses, doesn't it? When he spoke to God about Israel. When God was thinking, well, you know what? I'm just going to take them out. They're so unbelieving. They're so murmuring. They're so full of wicked ways. We're just going to start over. He had a point. But praise be to God, God had a friend in Moses. And I'm thankful to that. God obviously knew what was going to be, but thank the Lord for that fellowship that was given and shown to us. How by God's grace we can speak to God face to face as a friend. And you think about the friendship that we have with God. We go fully to the throne of grace. There's nothing between. That veil has been rent in twain. And we go boldly, hallelujah, into the holy of holies. Now, Brother Paul, as he states this, you can see here he possessed the very heart of God. See, in the very heart of God is a tender heart. As he said, Father, really, forgive them, just as Christ. See, that was Christ in Paul. See, those are the bridal ones. There was no desire in Paul's heart that when God's precious people fail, oh, Lord, just rake them over the coals. Show them how ornery they were and just let them have it for a while. See, that's that prodigal's brother. You can come back here in the kingdom, but you sure ain't coming in the palace. You get out there in the yard and work for a while, and you prove it to Dad and I, and then we'll think about letting you in here. But the heart of the father had no business and no part of that. Honey, not only are you welcome in here? But again, I've got the fatted calf waiting for you. Here's my coat. Here's my ring. We're having a feast. And by the way, let me give you a big fat kiss. That's what this is. This is the very heart that dwelt in Paul. It wasn't ridicule them, make them sorry. Let's parade them around a little bit for their unfaithfulness. Do you know many of God's precious people practice those types of things? God help us. Ye that are spiritual, restore. And want to restore. And pray for that restoration. And ones that are ornery and hateful, pray for that restoration in their life. Don't ever be bitter. But for the grace of God, there go I. Know these things, brothers and sisters. God has graced you with love. Don't let the devil get any hardness going on in your life. See, that was just like the Pharisee, that when they caught that woman in the act of adultery, going to expose her wicked ways and just stone her. And you can see how quickly your heart is exposed to the evidence of if you are a bridal one. See, if Paul wanted God to take him down for failing or not being with him, for turning for a moment, Paul would have had no victory in that. He would have only had the same old self-righteous condemnation he came out of. That's all he would have possessed. And I will tell you, the bride, the Lamb's wife, has no part in that type of thing. You know it. You're spewing hate toward God's precious people. You're in trouble. You are in great trouble. I will in no wise cast them out. He's waiting for that one that has been astray. He'll go after that one sheep every single time. He'll go find them. He wants to restore. He wants to bring them home. Honey, this is where you belong. Quit believing that lie out there. Come on. You're a child of the King. Hallelujah. That's our God. And praise be to God, I pray that that is our heart. And Paul said, lay it not to their charge. I want you to know something, though. He did correct them, didn't he? Yes, he did. He told the ones that swerved away, you swerved away. He told that coppersmith and his bunch, you're going to go that way, I'm just going to turn you over to the devil. If that's what you want, you got it. And he did tell his precious brethren. He said, you know what, I love you. But I want you to understand this. God had a purpose in this. God, praise the Lord, had something that he wanted to come out in my life. And I want you to know something very important here. It was all good. I was just fine. Because the Lord stood with me. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord stood with me. I love that. See, noticed here, it wasn't I stood with the Lord. Words mean something, and things are very important how they're stated in the Word of God. He didn't get out there and say, well, I stood with God and you didn't stand with him. No, the Lord stood with me. Listen to that. Listen to that. Let that stir your heart. What boldness. What he's saying there is the Lord loves me. The Lord never forsakes me. Let me tell you something. Not only is that, his desire is toward me. Yes. See, by grace, I took the grace, and I stood, and he stood with me. This is mutual stuff here. This is husband and wife talk. Praise God, he stood with me. When everybody turned away, think of these things. Those precious couples, things going, he stood with me. Hallelujah. Oh, what the grace of God can do. And again, in thinking how Paul says that, how the Holy Spirit has Paul say that, the encouragement to the Godhead, brothers and sisters, when we make a stand for the things of God. Do you see how excited the Godhead is? Oh, hallelujah. They stand with you. You're standing on the rock. I know that. But praise God, as Paul said, he stood with me. It's okay, honey. It might be a dark time. They might have all turned against you. But you know what? We're together. And in that, it says, he strengthened me. See what strength we get from the Lord. See, God always all-sufficient in all things. And I'm confident, brothers and sisters, all of us are going through things right now. There's many things that are being separated in our lives. There's a chiseling. Yes. The crown jewels are going to take some deep cuts. It's perfection. And if you know anything about whether it's the refiner's fire, as I told you, as I sat up there and watched that master, and what a master he was, I believe that one of the greatest in the world at this time up there in Seattle, those glass blowers, and he was working on some bowl, and he had this lump of molten glass, and he had had it on that long iron rod. And he would stick it in that furnace and the fire and the heat and how that would be. I can't imagine the temperatures. And he would bring that out. And it was almost about to drip, but he could turn it and hold it all together. And I was thinking how the Lord, how just when my life, and sometimes I feel like I'm ready to come apart. And praise be to God, he just would twist that and how it all holds together. By him, everything consists. And he'd pull that out, and he'd pound on that thing, and he'd hit it. And here it would come out, this blob of nothing. Oh, the bowl that would just appear, and how every part looked absolutely perfect, and the colors and the rainbow that was going through that piece of glass that looked just like a lump of gray nothing. And I'm not kidding you. But what was in there was so tremendous. And it looked like it was all done. And I'm thinking, wow, that is a great piece of glass. And there he put it back on that stick, stick it on the top of it, and he'd stick it right back in there. It wasn't done yet. And I'm telling you, he did that at least, as I sat there over an hour, probably 10 or 15 different times. And all I could do is I finally got up. Is that guy ever going to get through with that piece of glass? You ever feel like that with your life? Till your last breath, he's working on you. Let him do it. Let him do it. Oh, what a masterpiece it will be. And as I walked out through his shop, because we walked in through a different way, those pieces that were on display, amazing. I could see why he took so much time. Every bubble, every flaw, everything had to be out of the ones that he put on display. Those were the treasures. And I thanked the Lord as I walked out through there. He said, "And I will make known unto them, honey, that I have loved thee." It's coming. Coming soon, praise the Lord. Now, Paul abounded even in this great sadness and loneliness. He was encouraged, and I'm confident he could hear the Lord tell him, "Son, now the power of Christ is really going to rest upon you. You're going to see my purpose in all of this. I'm going to use this as even a greater moment than even the Red Sea. They sought out to kill you. They thought that they were going to snuff out all of that preaching. But through this, I am going to magnify my greatness, my faithfulness, that my arm is not short. Praise the Lord. That nothing is too hard for me. And all the Gentiles," as it says here. Isn't that wonderful? "See, all the Gentiles might hear. And that the preaching might be fully known." Isn't that wonderful how God does this? See, we're without excuse. See, this Paul's gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. You got to know this. It's the word of the Lord. And he says it here again. Listen to that in 17. "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, that by me..." See, he chose Paul. He chose Paul. That's it. That's what he chose. The chiefest sinner. The one who was out there pulling the Christians out of their places where they were speaking truth and killing them, dragging them out of the homes. As Stephen was being stoned, that sweet vessel, Paul was there, I'm confident, accusing him, holding his clothes, and that was the one that God chose. Isn't that something? Sure wouldn't have been the one the brothers would have chose. No, not him. No way it's going to be him. God said, "I had a circle around him and since ages past. You just don't know it yet. We've got an appointment on the road to Damascus. I'm going to reveal myself to him." And he is going to preach the fullness of the mystery of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't that awesome? And through this tragedy, see, you got to go back there in spirit to understand. Nobody stood with Paul. But God chose this. God chose this. That this was how it was going to be. This is how it was going to be most magnificent. That through this, it's going to reach all the Gentiles. That through this, by God's grace, he's going to be the one that the preaching might be fully known. And I thank the Lord, the purpose in this, brothers and sisters, that again, what testimony God brought forth, and only God could do it this way. See, I think of it over and over throughout the Word of God. It's just like the birth of Jesus. He didn't have all the trumpeters come out and, you know, when Jesus was going to be born, let's get him in the palace of palace and let's get all of the dignitaries from around the world together and let them line up and get in front of the manger here and just pay homage. Here is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It wasn't going to be that way. He was born in a lowly manger. There was nowhere for him to lay his head. This is the one that set the stars in heaven. This is the one by him everything was made. And how triumphantly God chose that virgin. God chose that carpenter daddy, that lowly manger, sent Herod out there to try to kill him. No fanfare at all. But God. But God. And as that one man that I so dear to my life, and I still am praying for him every day to accept Christ as Savior. But when he went over there to Israel, and he visited Bethlehem and Jerusalem, and he saw that what was there, all he could tell me is he said, man, there is something about that Jesus. He says, that's the backside of nowhere. And that he was born there. And I could almost hear him say, and he turned the world upside down. He's got to be God. That's what I was hoping for. But all he was saying is that he's got to be, there's got to be something about that Jesus. I said, there is. He's your Savior. It's a Jewish man. As a matter of fact, I said, he's your Messiah. So, praise be to God. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. But see, even in that birth, in his death, even in this with Paul, there is no other way that could have compared to the magnificence, the sincerity, brothers and sisters, the meaning. It had to be that way. And see, that's your life. That's my life. That's why God draws us this way. That's why we're not all cut from one mold. We're all different from out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. This is why, praise the Lord, when you fellowship in the gospel of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. We are one in Christ. That's what's so beautiful. That's the rejoicing by God's grace that we do have in here because of the love of God. That we know it had to be God. We don't look the same. We don't do the same things. We're all different. But yet we're all the same forever. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. It's him. It's him. It's him. Now going on, it says, Paul was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And this, I believe, is speaking of the mouth of Rome, that all-powerful government, the greatest empire this world has ever known. You can't imagine how far that thing stretched. I mean, those were rulers, and that was centuries that went on for. They had it going on. And I'll tell you what, you didn't mess with Rome. But I'm going to tell you one thing, they couldn't touch Paul. They could not touch him. God had put him there, and God put him there for a purpose. And until God was finished with the testimony that God wanted to bring through his chosen vessel, that was the moment that that head would come off. And we too know that this is our path, brothers and sisters. See, there's many times that we are going to be utterly alone. And in those times of being utterly alone, think it such a joy. Because by the grace of God, he is proving in you that you are willing to suffer the loss of all things, just as Paul. The rejection, the shattered dreams, being despised. But praise God, in Jesus we count it joy. Matter of fact, by God's grace, he might even make you kooky for him. And happy are ye when ye suffer for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. Now, don't be fooled when you're suffering from your own dumb actions and your own ornery ways. But I'll tell you what, when you are graced by God's grace to yield to the Lord all by his grace, and then you suffer, boy, them is some profitable sufferings. Amen? Amen. We know that. Hallelujah. Because why? The Bible tells us so. It's not, oh my goodness, you know, Job's friends. Job, what did you do? We thought you were a good guy. You must have done something really bad to suffer like that. See, this wouldn't go over very well with the prosper and be in health messages that are plaguing our pulpits at this time. God help us, brothers and sisters. As the word of the Lord tells us, you want to reign with Jesus? By God's grace, I do. Most people just throw their hand up anyways. Oh, I do. Well, you're going to suffer with him. You see the hand go down. Heaven's good enough for me. I get there by the skin of my teeth, and I'm good, huh? Oh, Lord, help us. I want to please you and to have your way with me. Oh, hallelujah. What the grace of God can do. All right, let's go ahead and read this majestic verse 18 together again. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. I love that because it's a done deal. Isn't that wonderful to have faith like that? You know, that way of escape's already been made. He shall deliver me. It doesn't look good. Matter of fact, it looks really bad. It looks hopeless. It looks like we're done. Oh man, I know God's right on the scene here. He's just getting ready to burst forth. God, help me to have a heart like that, truly. Because we know when we enter into those moments, we're going to be, we're going to be, oh Lord, this hurts. Lord, I'm a little bit fearful maybe, but God, see, quicken my heart, Lord. Let that fervent love, that passion, oh no, I live by faith. This word is my life. That other stuff's the lie. This is my life. Praise be to God. And that's when we really need to feast. Hallelujah. Is to prepare for these times. Not just when we're in those times. But by God's grace to prepare and to be well fed that we can battle and endure the hardness as good soldiers. Hallelujah. But you see, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord had for Paul. And Paul knew without the sufferings he would never partake in the heavenly reigning. He had to know and be exercised in experience and confidence that the Lord will deliver me out of every evil work from others. And can you imagine? How about even those battles that I battle within me? Every evil work. Yes, I understand what Paul was meaning here. But I'm so thankful that God, as I say this many times, oh, hallelujah, he saves me from myself. Yes, he does. And until you give him the glory for that, boy, I'll tell you what, you've never even touched giving him the glory you should. Oh, man, I'll tell you, thank you, God, for what you do, what you kept me from, and what you bring me through. He is the Lord thy God. And I'll tell you what, he will do it. And as Paul said, he will preserve me. And that means, literally, I'm safe and sound through it all. This is a fiery furnace. Sure, praise be to God. These trials that we're going on into, and they're getting a little bit more heated every time. We're getting finished here, brothers and sisters. But the Lord tells us, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to take you into that furnace, and we're going to rejoice in that furnace, and we're going to be in that furnace, and it's going to give me glory in that furnace. And not only are you not going to have any burns in that furnace, you're not even going to smell a smoke. You're going to come out of there, and they're going to think, man, you weren't even there. And you know what? By God's grace, I'm really not. I believe I'm seated in the heavens in Christ as I speak. Praise the Lord. That's how preserved and how kept we are. He that is faithful and true. But now we get to the most wonderful part. And this is the part of what the Lord was preserving Paul for. You talk about a keeping. You talk about for a special moment. Oh, what an event. And not unto me only, as Paul said, but unto all them also that love his appearing. See, this isn't just for Paul's life. As we read and rejoiced, praise God, just a few weeks back, oh, honey, this isn't for me only. This is for all of us. See, God, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth, the full knowledge of the love of God, how much He loves you, what He wants for you, to win Him, not just to say nice and patronizing things to people. I had to encourage a brother in the Lord right before I came, and going through a thing with someone who was very dear to him. He says, oh, well, you're a Christian, and we'll be there all together at the same time. God's precious people aren't going to all arrive in heaven at the same time. I love you enough to tell you that. I love the Lord enough, praise God, and He loves me so much He's encouraged me to tell you the truth. And I'm thankful to say it, that there will be different companies of believers in heaven at different times. It's very clear. Revelation, it is so very clear. You get there when Paul finally gets his vision of heaven and he sees what's there first. He sees the 24 elders. Well, why shouldn't he? That shows you right there in Matthew when the Lord said, and when Christ arose, and some of the graves were opened. Some of them, not all of them, of them that believed in the Lord. But those were the full overcomers in Christ, the 24 elders. Yeah, praise God. Moses, the likes of a David, Ruth, Esther, those that, praise God, took everything that the Lord had given them at that time. And what a company they are, praise God. But then, right after that, you see the four living ones. Oh, yes, redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. And where are they? They're the only company that you'll find that is in the midst of the throne with Him. Oh, I go right to Romans 8. Ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ. See, we're all heirs of God as children of God. It said, yes, if you're a child of God, you're an heir of God. But it says in Romans 8, and joint heirs, if so be that ye suffer together with me, that ye also might be glorified together with me. Praise be to God. Man, you finish up that in chapter 4, you got to get all the way over to chapter 7 of Revelation to find that next company in heaven. And there you got the innumerable multitude. And as I was telling that brother today, I said, why again do you think they call it the innumerable? Because that's the vast majority of God's precious people. And what does it say about them? They come out of great tribulation. See, that bride is spared from the tribulation. We know that because that's the Church of Philadelphia. But that bride comes, that innumerable multitude comes out of great tribulation. And it says that the tear has to be wiped from their eyes. It's going to be a tough time. You enter into that tribulation, it's not going to be a good time. It's going to be a fearful time. Because the devil at that time will come forth as a roaring lion. Let me tell you something, the devil's presence right now is not very nice. It's pretty roaring, but it ain't no roaring lion right now. Because he that hindereth, and that's the precious bride, has not yet been taken away. See, the Lord so loves His wife. Let me tell you something. She's not going to be touched by that. She's going to be with Him. So we know these things. I'm thankful to God. And brothers and sisters, we need to stand and withstand. But this was the preserving that the Lord was encouraging in Paul's heart. Honey, you love my appearing. Get ready for a heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. We're talking about a heavenly reigning. See, Paul was eager always to be with Jesus, didn't he? He said, oh, I'm ready to depart. Hallelujah. He told him, it's for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, man. You're not making me fear with no chopping block. You're not going to make me fear with death. You're going to have me skipping around. Lord, is it my time? He was ready by God's grace. Thank the Lord. But you know what? See, he wasn't trying to make this world a better place. I have a lot of people that, you know, oftentimes they don't know too much about the Lord's ministry that he's called me to be a part of. Oh, they use this, oh, you're a minister. Oh, you're making this world such a better place. I said, man, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And then they start walking away once they say that. But see, Brother Paul, he was interested in God's best. See, that's what he was interested in, wasn't he? For his life. Because, see, I can't be interested for your life until by God's grace I take it for my life. Then I understand what it is about as the Lord encourages it in my heart. But see, he was interested in God's best for his life and preparing those that wanted it the same for the soon coming of the Lord. As the testimony that is so sweet to my heart, when Brother Hill was so sick and so weak, and I've been to a lot of bedsides of people ready to depart, and for the most part, they are looking to the subway. Oh, I just pray in the Lord, you know, take me. And my heart goes out. I've never been in that place. But I am trusting God to have that full overcomer fervency. Because as Brother Hill and his body was rotting and he was in such pain and he was sitting there on the floor because he couldn't make it to the kitchen when I went to see him laying in that hall, and my heart just broke as I went around the corner and I saw him laying there and all he could do was look up at me, and I said, oh, Grandpa, what are you doing down there? And he looked at me and he said, oh, son, do you think he could come today? That's it, man. I will never, ever, by the grace of God, forget that. Ever. He wasn't looking for no subway. I'm sure he'd take it in a moment if God was going to bring it, as he would preach it. But the thing that touched his heart was the message of Paul. That brother wanted to get back to Jerusalem. That brother, if by any means I might attain unto that resurrection. Praise God. That's it. That's the mark. That's the prize. That's the fullness of God and what he has. Hallelujah. And God help us to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This is what it is about. And that's just it. Is our spirit, by God's grace, even though we are seated in the heavens in Christ, we know that, but is my spirit really dwelling in that truth? Is the focus of my heart's affection those things above? Am I seeking those things above? And by God's grace, is the passion and focus of my life the continuing city whose builder and maker is God? Yes. Those are the ones that this is speaking about here. We're talking about the ones that are reigning in his heavenly kingdom. You'll read very clearly of those in the five wise and the five foolish virgins is a wonderful example of this. Now, as we close this up, and I've spoken this to people before, and they say, well, brother, you know, how do you see that in there? You know, about this bride and his wife. And speaking of this reigning in the heavenly kingdom, when it says in Revelation 7, and it does, the innumerable multitude will be in heaven. It says that they're standing before the throne. It says that they're waving palms. Yes, praise God, they're in heaven. They're God's precious people. Hallelujah. And I am so glad they always ask. Because it's all, the proof of it is all in that ending praise. And I want you to listen to this. It's in that ending praise. And it's also in those that agree with that ending praise. And you know how you agree with that ending praise that's spoken here? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I agree. Hallelujah. My heart, my spirit is at one with this. And what I'm talking about is that statement, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that is the height of praise. And the reason that we know that this is the height of praise, that phrase is only uttered by God's grace, by only a select few in the Word of God. That phrase, by God's grace, is uttered first by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then another character whose name happened to be Paul. The Lord has that precious vessel utter that 7 times. What a number. What perfection. What precious praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. Then another precious brother, very closely to that same phrase, says it twice. And his name happens to be Peter. And if you know about the number 2, is sufficient witness. And how precious in Peter, in the very last writing in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord writes through Peter, his conclusion is, Brother Paul's got the message. The sufficient witness. It was given to Paul. That's why he even ends it up, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The perfection of this, brothers and sisters, is just beyond. And then finally, it's uttered 2 more times by John in Revelation. As he writes to the churches in the first chapter of Revelation, that's the announcement to all. And that is the announcement to all of God's precious people. Do you know that the Lord wants them to win His very best? He doesn't want just all men to be saved, but His will is that they would know the truth. Know it as a husband and wife know one another. That's that knowledge, that intimacy that is beyond any intimacy that we understand as humans, that is between a husband and a wife. My sons know our family very well. They know lots of things about what goes on. But the headship in our family, praise be to God, the reigning couple is mom and dad. It's the husband and wife. That's where it's at. And I thank the Lord that God is not a respecter of person. He preaches this to all the churches there in that first chapter. But it's amazing, you go all the way through, and only one other time is it uttered. And what a pair of companies that utters that same phrase. The only ones who took it, even though it was announced to all, you'll find in Revelation chapter 7, the 24 elders and the 4 living ones, they sum it up. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. What you think? Do you know that's yours? It's yours. If you want it. He died for you to have it. He died for you to have this. Oh, how complete salvation. What a plan. What a plan. And we know this. God has revealed this. And praise God, will we go after it? Lord, give me that passion. Give me that if by any means. I don't care what our age is here tonight. I don't care what we're going through tonight. Just like with Paul, Timothy, Luke, all of these different brothers. They all were from different walks of life. Luke, a doctor. Tax collectors. Prostitutes. Boy, it ran the gamut, didn't it? Hallelujah. But see, God's not a respecter of person. That call has gone out. You going to meet Him at the well? You're going to tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction? There isn't anything that can compare. And I do ask you to pray for me. I do want to win him. I do. But I know that it's only going to be the grace of God. The enabling power of the Lord. And I thank him that he's not just able. He's willing. He's passionate for this. He's the God that, praise the Lord, gave everything. Everything. Because I gave you my son for us to have this. Now you ask, what can I do for you, Lord? As he's brought you time and time again through the darkest times of your life. And I know your heart, because he's given you that heart. And it's sincere. Lord, if there's just something I could do, well, I've got one thing. Take of the cup of salvation and drink. And drink and never stop drinking. And this is what it is. It's Paul's gospel, brothers and sisters. This is it. We need to pray. We need to pray. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding for this. Lord, thank you for the fervency that you've given me in my life. But Lord, I know I need more. Let me tell you something. This dark times, brothers and sisters, this is a very dry time. It's drying up. The heat's on. People are, as they say, are freaking out. And I'm talking Christians. It's too hot for me. God help it. Lord, don't let it be too hot for me. I care not how hot is the fire. I can't say that. But I know Christ in me can. I know that through Christ I can do all things. Because he strengthens me. And by his grace, because he stood with me. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that wonderful? Your family may have deserted you. Your closest friends may have said goodbye. But the one thing I can assure you of, if you'll go after Paul's gospel, you'll have one standing with you that will comfort you in everything, that will encourage you through anything. The lover of your soul. You'll have to excuse me. I'm getting a little delirious for him. It's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.